Morning.
It's good to see all of you here this morning. And what a sweet time of worship, just getting to experience Jesus in this place. We're glad if you're here in our room with us, but we're also thankful for those who are checking in and watching us on Facebook throughout the week. We'd love to have you here on Sunday morning, so if you're out there on Facebook, come check us out. 10:46 is what time we start, and we'd love to see you here this morning. We just finished up our series, a little mini-series, on fear last week. And sometimes in between series, I like to kind of step out and do something different. And some of you know that about me. I've been here around. And this week's no different. In fact, I've decided that I'm actually going to start another series that's going to be like a series in between series. So if that makes any sense to you.
A mini series
that's going to kind of break up the series. Yeah, something like that. But this isn't going to continue next week. You'll have to follow along and then come back. We're going to come back to it. So we're going to be actually going back to the Old Testament this week. And the reason for this is that one of the things I think we need the most in this world today is something from God, something that only God can give us. And that's wisdom. The reality is that wisdom is essential to living for Christ. But there are many today who see wisdom as optional instead of essential. So as we pause from Acts today, we're going to take a break for wisdom. A break for wisdom. And we're going to actually be in the book of Proverbs. So if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to open up to the book of Proverbs. This is right after Psalms. So if you have your Bible somewhere right past the middle there. Wisdom is the key component for the Christian life. That's my premise for this mini-series. Wisdom is the key component for Christian life. In order to understand how to live for wisdom, it's required. So this week's message will be titled, Break for Wisdom, It's Required. Why do you think wisdom is something that's required for Christian living? Yes?
Because we don't know everything.
That's right. That's right. And if we're a believer in Christ, we need to be seeking... That was like a classroom thing, wasn't it? That was pretty cool, right? We need to be seeking wisdom in order to follow God. And so I just want to start today. You won't believe. We're going to only do 7 verses in the first book of Proverbs. And you're going to be like, how did we get that much out of that? Because there is so much here. So if you have your Bibles open, you want to follow along with me as we read or just listen along here with us. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right, just, and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and direction to the or discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's pray. God, we just want to acknowledge this morning that sometimes we can act in foolish ways, that we act like we know it all. And we want to ask this morning that you would help us in those moments, that you would humble us, that you would use this teaching this morning to draw us closer to you, to understand the source of wisdom and the source of life is nothing that we bring to the table, but everything that you bring to the table. Make us wiser today. That's our request. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, why is it so important from whom these proverbs come from? I mean, the proverbs come from Solomon, right? Do you know why it's important that we know why the proverbs come from Solomon? Because Solomon was the wisest man ever to live. Ever. Do you know why he was the wisest man ever to live? Because he said, when God said, what do you want? He didn't ask for anything. He didn't ask for all the riches in the world. He didn't ask for long life. He asked God for wisdom. He said, God, will you give me wisdom? And so Solomon was the wisest man. In fact, it's noted that people from all around the region would come to Solomon for his wisdom. He was known as the wisest man. And so we need to understand that this was the wisest man ever because God gave him that wisdom. Now, in the NASB translation, the first verse there says, the Proverbs of Solomon, David, Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction. The word for gaining in the NASB is actually to know. And that's actually the best translation for that Hebrew word there. Solomon wrote this book because he was given that knowledge from God. And as the wisest man to ever live, his idea was to share this wisdom with those who wanted to attain it. How many in the room want to attain some wisdom? How many on Facebook? Oh, I can't see your hands. But we had a blockage there for a minute. Anyway, in other words, what Solomon has given us is to help us understand how to live a life and how we, not how we see fit, but how to live a life how God would have us live it. So he wants to give us wisdom in order to live life. So as we go through this passage, we'll see that what Duane Garrett points out in his commentary, there are four applications of wisdom, or four reasons for applying wisdom. The first is found in these verses, and he describes it as practical wisdom or common sense. Wisdom that allows a person to understand the normal things in life. There are people, believe it or not, who do not possess this. There was one example of this is this girl who's anti-windmill. And so this guy and her were conversing, and he's like, so listen, try and clue me in as to why you're anti-windmill. And when I'm talking about anti-windmill, you know, you're thinking the big windmills, the big wind turbines. He's like, because they produce air, you know, electricity, and I just don't understand. Are you, like, against them because they kill birds? Are you against them because they ruin the landscape? I mean, I just don't understand. And her response, and it was quite serious, she was dead serious, was that she was afraid that they were going to use up all the wind. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. No lie. That's a true story. True story. So, I mean, there are people that I'm sure that you guys got some stories of your own, of people who don't have common sense, right? I mean, that's a common sense thing. How are we going to use up all... I'm sorry if you're out there and you're that person, but we're never going to use up all the wind. God has an unending supply, okay? So just to reassure you of that, the windmills, the wind source is safe from the windmills eating it all up. So wisdom and understanding are a gift and something we should want to seek after, yes? I mean, if it gives us common sense, if it gives us the ability to think right about this life, then that's something we should seek after. Because the lack of it makes it hard to operate in the daily activities of life. I just kind of look at that story and go, how does she get through the rest of her day? Because there's some things that could cause me to question that, for sure. Imagine, or another reason for applying wisdom is intellectual wisdom. That's the second reason that Garrett gives us. And he says that it's for understanding instruction and being able to apply that instruction to our daily living. Imagine not being able to follow basic instruction and the result of that in life. Think about that. The ability to not follow basic instructions and what that translates to in a person's daily life. There was this man who worked in a store, and I have no idea why this man would do this, but every time a customer would come in, he would mimic everything the customer said. Like, to a T, every word, mimic. And to add to that, he would mimic, if they were from another race or another culture, he would mimic their accent. Well, to the dismay of the owner of the store, he kept getting lots of calls about this man. And so they brought him in several times and said, listen, you've got to cut this out. I don't know why you think it's funny, but it's not funny, and you got to stop. So the guy comes out of the meeting, and there's a person that walks in the door, and he starts mimicking this person as the manager standing right next to him who just reprimanded him and telling him and starts using the accent. And then the guy goes into the office again with the guy and goes and can't understand why he's getting fired. I mean, think about that. You can't follow basic instruction. Why? Why would someone not be able to follow basic instruction? I know that my daughter works at a fast food restaurant, and she gets so frustrated with some of the people because they just cannot listen to basics. Like, how can you not understand that? You know? And I'm sure that some of us have dealt with people such as that. And the reason for that, Psalm is telling us, is that they don't have a basic intellectual wisdom. They can't follow instruction. They don't have the wisdom in order to do it. And this ties into the next verse as well. And the third reason Garrett gives for attaining wisdom. Proverbs 1:3. It's not going to be up there, so you have to just have your Bibles. For receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. He says that wisdom is to provide moral instruction as well. Think about that. Another word for prudent is wise. And wisdom involves knowing the difference between what is right and what is wrong. Now, some of the funniest stories I've ever heard, maybe you too, are of criminals. Because they do the stupidest things. I mean, you know, I've seen videos. There was this one video where this guy was going to break into this storefront. So he takes the brick and he throws it at the storefront and stands there. And the brick hits him right in the head. And he's out cold. And the police arrest him the next morning with the brick laying next to him. Okay? I mean, this happens. These are real life stories. There's plenty more. Go YouTube that. Dumb criminals. And you're like, what is wrong with them? But think about it. They don't have the wisdom of a moral compass. They just don't know the difference between right and wrong. Either that or they ignore it. And that's the reality. And you can ask any law enforcement person about the lack of moral wisdom in many people. Because it's out there. That's why there's law enforcement. Think about it this way. If everyone had a moral compass or a moral wisdom, do you think we'd need law enforcement? There would be no need for it. Okay. But since the beginning of creation, there have been some who have been challenged in terms of moral wisdom. And a perfect example is actually found in the Bible, in the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis 4, in the first generation of mankind on the earth. We'll have it on the screen for you. It's Genesis 4, 2b through 8. And here's what it says. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is, church, right, will you not be accepted?" Moral compass, moral wisdom. "But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." So what we learn from this, it goes on to say that Abel went out and actually said, or Cain said to his brother Abel, "Hey, come on out in the field and come with me," and he kills him. I mean, that's a short story of the thing. That's what happened. But think about this. With wisdom, would we be able to rule over our emotions? Would we be able to rule over what we know is right versus what is wrong? Mm-hmm. We need wisdom to do. If you don't have wisdom, you don't have that. You don't have that. Look, and if you look at this passage, God even stepped into the situation to help Cain. He tried to help him with moral wisdom, but he chose to reject it. Why? Because his moral compass wasn't there. His moral wisdom wasn't present. And without... another way to describe this, a moral wisdom, is self-control. Like, if we don't have moral wisdom, we can't apply the discipline, I guess you will, of self-control. And without discipline and self-control, people will find themselves living to please themselves. Think about that. Without discipline and self-control, people will find themselves living to please themselves. If you take nothing else out of this today, just take this section. Because this is important. Because people who have no discipline have little to no care for anyone else around them. It's all about them. However, wisdom requires that discipline is applied to daily living. Just pause for a second and think about life without discipline. Think about life without any kind of order. There is nothing to direct or motivate an individual to engage in the right things. Would an undisciplined person care if they pay their bills on time? Or show up when they are scheduled to a job? Think about it. Undisciplined person care? Probably not. Would a person who has no discipline do what needs to be done to simply live? Eat, clothe themselves, clean, you know, pay the bills. And you're all like, yeah, we got that covered, because I can tell, because it doesn't smell bad in here this morning. So, but this carries over into the spiritual realm as well. A person who lacks discipline will not be driven by God's plan. They will not be engaged in gaining wisdom from the Word. They're not going to be engaged in spending time in prayer. They're not going to be engaged in doing what He's called them to do. An undisciplined person will have those things removed from their spiritual walk. It's not a priority. And that's not applying wisdom to the spiritual walk. In fact, what happens is a person who's undisciplined in their spiritual realm will have their personal agenda tower over the things that matter to God. Think about that. Maybe you've been in a situation where your personal agenda has towered over what God's called you to do. I got to get out at the door this morning because I've got to be here instead of I got to pray this morning and need to spend time in God's Word to prepare me for the day. And what does God have planned for me today? Anybody ever done that? Anybody ever guilty of that kind of attitude? Well, that's this lack of spiritual discipline. It's a lack of wisdom. Martin Luther said that when he had a lot to do, he would pray extra in the morning. He would spend double the time in prayer. What's that mean? That means that we've got to put aside what we want. I need to sleep till 7. Do you really? Do you really need to sleep till 7? Some of you are 6. I don't know. Whatever time. Or do you get up and you go, you know, I need to spend time with God. Or I'm going to set my alarm this morning because I've got a crazy busy day and I want to make sure that I have that discipline time with Him. Discipline applied to the life of the believer displays wisdom. Think about that. Discipline in the life of the believer displays, puts on display the wisdom of God. And where does that come from? Where does that wisdom come from? It doesn't come from oneself. It comes from the Spirit living in them. I know that if you're a faithful follower of Christ, if you're a believer of God, then you've had moments where you've had the Spirit instruct you and you've had a choice to make. Now, some of you have taken the right choice in those decisions and some of you have taken the wrong direction. Which one used wisdom? Which one put God's agenda versus your agenda? The Spirit is there to instruct us. He is the source of our wisdom and the source of our spiritual discipline. Think about it. The most spiritually disciplined people are in tune with the Spirit, listening to His guidance, not ignoring Him, because He's the one who can keep a believer on what path? Not the wide one, but the narrow path. If we're left to our own devices, where are we going to end up? If we had no Spirit, where will we end up? You think this isn't true? Think of David, a man after God's own heart. Where did he end up? He took the wide path at points in his life. Why? Because he wasn't seeking God. And he didn't have the Spirit in him. He may have the Spirit with him, but he didn't have the Spirit in him. And he chose to ignore what was right. What's that? What do we need in order to listen to Spirit? I'm going to tell you. Discipline. We need discipline. The first thing any branch of the military teaches its recruits is discipline. Why? Think about this. Because in order for them to go any further than that point, for them to learn any more, to be able to do what they've been signed up to do, they have to have discipline in order to receive the instruction. They got to break them down and make them disciplined. For those of you that have been in the military, you know. I was talking to a man this week. He said, the military is not the same as it was, but there's still the core component of discipline. There has to be discipline. Because without it, there's chaos. They're not the way they're supposed to be. Now, just imagine that if everybody had this mentality of a disciplined life, of an understanding of whose they are, and how they need self-control in order to do the will of the ones above them to direct them. How would that translate in our world today? Think about it. It would be transformational, wouldn't it? Wouldn't our world look entirely different? And particularly if we imagine all believers, just put believers in that category. Think about that. How much different would the church itself be? Which would impact the world. Because why? Would the Christian life be more attractive or less attractive with disciplined believers? I think you know the answer to that. This is a strong argument for the need to have wisdom in order to have this sort of disciplined life. And this should start from an early age. Proverbs 1:4, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. The word simple here in the Hebrew is one we need to stop and consider. Can't just look past it. Because the word simple means foolish, open-minded, or easily seductible. Think about that. Yes. Easily seductible. That's the word foolish means in the Bible here. Now I want you to think about something. Think about this. There are many people today who believe being open-minded is wise. In fact, I would submit that there's a generation that believes that tolerance and open-mindedness is what they need in order for the world to operate the way it should operate. No. Sorry if you're offended with that today. Because it says to give prudence for those who are simple. Well, the word prudence there is wisdom. And there's a way to have wisdom and still be open-minded to people. No, let me rephrase that. There's a way to have wisdom today and still love people. Okay? Because open-mindedness is not necessarily a good thing. Wisdom, however, brings insight and understanding. It sees a facade that disguises itself as a lie. People think that being open-minded is accepting something that's not true. Well, when you bring wisdom into that, that blows that away. That blows the facade away and allows you to see in the truth. The debates in the culture today are all centered around this idea of open-mindedness. You think not? Think about it. It's what you believe. It's what you want. And I know this might be controversial for some people, but I can't deny what the Bible says. The Bible says to bring wisdom to those who are open-minded. In other words, we're supposed to change what they believe because it's not true. It's a lie. It's a cultural lie. And I'm sorry, as a man of God and one who preaches God's word, I cannot stand on a lie and go, okay. We have to bring wisdom and truth into it. If you're not open-minded according to the world's standards, think about this. You're considered a prude or at very least intolerant. We need this to consider this here. Solomon, the wisest man ever to live, says wisdom changes those who are simple. Think about that. Wisdom changes those who are open-minded. Why? Because what does wisdom hold within it? Truth. It defeats the lie. So who is correct? The world who is open-minded, accepting and willing to embrace things that make no sense based on God's plan for creation? Or those who apply biblical wisdom to the way the world works? By the way, there are denominations and churches today who need to hear this. Who need to receive this wisdom and stop being so open-minded. Because the Bible is clear. It's clear. And I don't like speaking against other churches or other denominations. However, when you ignore the truth, then there needs to be a rebuke. And we need to stand on the truth. We need to stand on wisdom. We need to stop letting those churches allow them to speak for the rest of us. To allow them to stand and embrace the world's view instead of God's view. And look at the second part of this verse. It brings knowledge and discretion to the young. Now look, Solomon didn't say, hey, young people, go to college or school to get this. But the world says that, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
The world says you need to go to college or go to school to get wisdom, to go somewhere, to be somebody. Uh-uh. Solomon says, if you want wisdom, if you want discretion, if you want life, go where? To God. I mean, there's nothing wrong with college and continuing education that will allow you to attain better employment sometimes. Sometimes. But a person who is wise will know how and when the education is needed. There's a line, a delineation. Do you know how many people are in debt today because they went to school? It's crazy. It's crazy. My daughter was just telling me the other day that there's now a college up in New York that's giving away medical education because people don't want to be a regular doctor anymore. They want to have all these high-paying jobs and all these specialty jobs, and people want to pay for them. But we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars for a medical education. But yet this college is giving away for free. Why? Because we need doctors. Because that college is finally understood. There are some young people today that I know who have no college, no college education, no technical training. They've never been to a trade school. But they applied biblical wisdom. They sought God in their career path. And they're doing far better than many of the other young people I know. Just saying. Just saying. And if you think about it, we need to be careful when we send our students or students when you go to universities, because universities are not going to teach the Bible. They're going to teach against it. That's not wisdom. That's the cultural lie. That's the agenda of people in that realm. And so we as parents need to say, hey, What are you learning? My daughter's in college. She's taking some college classes. And we've had some discussions. Hey, what are you learning there? What are they saying? And I'll say to her, you can ask her, I'll say to her, hey, so what's your point of view? And how are you standing up for the biblical point of view? How do you infuse wisdom into the lie? And sometimes she's able to articulate that and go back and engage. And sometimes she's like, Dad, they won't listen. And I get that. But that doesn't mean that they shouldn't do it, that they shouldn't take wisdom to the plate. The one thing I've tried to pass on to my girls is wisdom. I'm not the wisest guy in the world, but I can tell you that I've asked God for it, and He's responded. And wisdom is not something we can attain in an instant, right? I mean, Solomon goes on to tell us in verses 5 and 6, let the wise listen and add to their learning. Add to it, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. So what's it say? Well, if you look at the first part, if people are wise, what do? They listen. That's right. So you guys are wise this morning because you're sitting here listening. Good job. Good job. But anyone who talks all the time can't get smarter than they are, can they? Think about that. If a person is talking all the time, how can they attain any wisdom? We have to stop sometimes and listen to what others have to say. There's a lot of time during the day that you'll find me with my headsets on, and I'm listening to other teachers, other preachers give wisdom. Because I don't have it all. There'll be many things that we hear. We need to be careful what we hear without putting it through a line of discernment, through a filter. Because without wisdom, what happens? We can hear something, we can speak it back out, and then we become the fool. I don't know about you, but I've done that before. I heard this thing, or I put this post out on Facebook about this new bug or whatever, and somebody comes back, you know that's false, right? Aye. Okay, you got the fool. They suckered me in. I didn't apply wisdom. I didn't research it. I didn't run it through a field of discernment. who knows little about anything, and what they do know usually contradicts itself. Think about that. People think they know everything, but really they only know a little bit about everything, instead of being an expert in one thing. And when you know a little bit about everything, you're not an expert in one thing. And what happens is, you know this little bit, and then you get in this conversation, and somebody starts talking to you that has a lot of knowledge in that area, and you're like, I'm out of my league, because I started this conversation. And I get shut down. You know what I love? I love talking to people about the Bible. Because that's the one area that I feel confident. You know why? Because God gives me wisdom when I talk about the Bible. Even if I don't know it all, He applies this special Holy Spirit-infused gift of being able to speak the Word. And the verses come off and it just flows. And I'm like, wow, I'm so wise. And I'm going, whoa, whoa, whoa. Nope, that's a spirit working through me. Yeehaw, you know? That's where the source of the wisdom's coming from. Yeah. But the next part of this verse is something that is quickly becoming a forgotten pattern of learning. Finding someone to guide us. Someone to lead us. Because in our self-sufficient society with the focus on self, there's a huge gap. What we find is we end up walking life alone. We do it our way. We accept that our way is good enough. And we can teach ourselves enough. It's a hole in how wisdom is attained and understood. How things are sifted out as truths or lies. Because if we do it by ourselves, then our truth becomes the truth. Instead of what is the actual truth. So the problem is double-sided. The first side is many do not want to hear from anyone else. Their understanding and how they see things to be enough is enough, and they could care less about what others think or believe. So people don't want it. People don't want someone to walk alongside of them. But let's not be so naive to forget that history repeats itself. In other words, Solomon would tell us here, there's nothing new under the sun. While we may be experiencing something for the first time, there are others who have experienced it before, and we should look to them for insight. As for wisdom, the idea here is to find someone who knows about the thing we need understanding about, and this person should be the one who is known to have wisdom in this area. They should have experienced this thing before. The second side to this is people are too busy. They're not willing to invest in others because mentoring or discipling takes three things. It takes time, it takes effort, and it takes dedication. So what I want you to take away from this morning is this, that we should all be looking for opportunities to be mentored, but also to be a mentee. And now I know some of you in the room are thinking, but Ron, I don't have all the wisdom I need to mentor anyone. I'm not ready for that in my life. I'm too young. I'm not smart enough. Whatever your excuse is, it's simply an excuse. Because we all bring something to the table. We all have some experience or some wisdom that others don't have. Each of us has things to offer, especially if we're pursuing a godly life and seeking to live righteously for Him. How many of you considered that? That you have something to offer someone else? And how are you looking to give that to someone? How are you, where are you going? Who are you talking to? Where do you spend your time? And the opportunity, I want to tell you this, being on both sides of this, the opportunity to grow in wisdom is in both positions, as the mentee and the mentor. Because not only does the mentee get wisdom of the mentor, but sometimes, and the more often than you think, the mentor gets wisdom from the mentee. It's a two-sided street. And we will need people in our lives, even if we are wise. Because in verse 5 and 6 it says, let the wise listen and add to the learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables and the sayings and riddles of the wise. To understand not only the Proverbs, but the parables. Think about how Jesus taught. He used parables. And if you ask the ordinary person on the street, if you read a parable out of the Bible, most people wouldn't get it. But they wouldn't be alone. Because if you think about it, if you look at what we have in the record of the Bible, even the disciples didn't get it. And they had to ask Jesus for understanding. They had to ask Jesus for wisdom. In order to truly understand the teachings of the Bible and even some of the teachings of biblical teachers, we might need to find someone to ask questions to. In fact, if you're hearing something today and you're like, I don't understand that, we're going to encourage you to send us an email or drop us a message on Facebook and say, hey, I don't understand that. Can you go into further detail? And we will get that answer for you. Because we can't go into everything here this morning. And not every week are we able to go into everything. But we'll answer those questions, and we love to do that. Let us not forget that God is the first one we should ask for wisdom from. Amen. Not to get ahead of ourselves, but look at where Solomon says, look at what Solomon says, wisdom, let me rephrase that. Look at where Solomon says wisdom comes from in Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And how do we get this wisdom? We need to ask for it. We need to ask for it. According to the brother of Jesus, he said, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God for it, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you, James 1:5. This is the brother of Jesus, by the way. I think he might have a little bit of wisdom, just a little bit. He's only got a few chapters there in his book, but there's a lot of wisdom in those chapters. In fact, our men's small group, is about to study the book of James, and we're getting excited about getting into the book of James because there is so much wisdom in James. Some conviction, but a lot of wisdom. And while we can ask for wisdom and God will give it, we can begin with this, verse 7 of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now listen. People fear all kinds of things in this world, right? They fear the government. They fear job loss. They fear their boss. They fear health. They fear spouses. Some of them fear children. Some fear spiders. Some even fear death. But only one fear is one we should have. But it's a different kind of fear. I want you to understand, fear of the Lord is not a trembling fear, but an understanding of who He is. That He is the source of everything, including wisdom. And this beginning of the journey of wisdom. It starts with Him. And this passage tells us it's only fools who deny this. So I'm going to ask you, Dad, how wise are you? Who are you letting influence you? Where is your wisdom coming from? Because it matters. Especially as a follower of Christ, it matters. Even if you're not a follower of Christ, I would submit to you this morning that seeking God for wisdom is the best place and the only source you should have. Why? Because it's the beginning. It's the beginning of understanding. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's not the end. It's just the starting line. Think about what God does through His Word and through His Spirit. Think about that. Why wouldn't we want to go there for wisdom? I mean, He says that if we seek Him, He wants to give us the abundant life. He wants to show us how to truly live. So wisdom is required because it provides certain things in our life. Provides discipline. Now we've seen in these seven verses the benefits of having wisdom in our life. So I want to try and help you remember this in a tangible way. So the first one I think that we need to focus in on here is discipline. Wisdom is required for discipline. Because if we don't have discipline, or if we don't have wisdom, how can we have discipline? Sorry, got that backwards. If we don't have wisdom, how can we have discipline? We can't. Number two. Wisdom is required because it provides us a direction. It gives us the ability to make righteous decisions. What are righteous decisions? Decisions that please God. Decisions that honor Him, that bring Him glory, that keep us on the right path, the moral path. Basically, we're outlining this proverb, these seven verses of this proverb. I told you there was a lot in here this morning, with these 5 points. So that you can kind of remember them. And the third point is instruction. Wisdom is required because it provides instruction. If we don't have wisdom, how can we know what God wants us to do? How can we know? If we don't have wisdom, we're going to go on our own path. There'll be somebody there to instruct you. That's the reality. Somebody will be there in life to instruct you. And they will do it. They have no problem doing it. But if you have wisdom from God, if you know your instruction is coming from Him, you're gonna not engage with us. It'll be different. Your life will look different. And I think wisdom is required because it's God's plan. God wants to give us wisdom. Why would He tell us otherwise? Why would He have this whole book in the middle of the Bible on wisdom? Are we supposed to ignore it? I mean, you know, we could do a whole series and our whole sermon on one verse of Proverbs. And we may do that 1 week. A whole verse. On one verse. I'm sorry, a whole sermon on one verse. That's kind of crazy if you think about it. Because there's a lot in there. There's a lot of wisdom in Proverbs, and God wants us to soak that up. Why? Because we don't know His plan if we don't have wisdom. If we're not seeking Him, how are we going to engage in His plan? And then we need to gauge that wisdom through experiences of others. So, you know, we need to have those mentors. We need to have those mentees. Both sides. We need to be able to sift some of the experiences that we have or the wisdom that we get through others' experiences and say, okay, how does this apply? So we started this analogy today. We started this thing with breaking, stopping for wisdom. Well, in order to stop for wisdom, it allows us to drive through life. It allows us to keep going. Think about that. I didn't even plan that in the beginning. I was sitting there this morning after everything was done, and I'm like, wow, that car analogy is right there, and I didn't even see it. See? Holy Spirit. So I hope that you just take this with you this week. As some of you are driving around, think about what it takes to drive. Think about what it takes to drive your life through the idea of wisdom, discipline, righteous decisions, instruction, God's plan. And then those people around you, mentors and mentees, who help you sift some of that wisdom. So God, as we wrap up today, we want to thank You for Your plan, for how You've taught us through Solomon's words, through the wisest man that ever lived, that wisdom is not just something that we might want, but something that's required for ultimate living. That wisdom is something that we need to seek after and desire with the greatest passion of our heart. Would You help us to do that this week? And when we feel like we're at our wits' end, would You help us to remember that we can call out to You and ask for Your influence, Your power in those moments, for wisdom in how to engage? When everything feels out of control, You're still in control. And You can provide us the wisdom and the ability to get through those situations that we can find in the world. And Lord, as we wrap up this prayer, I want to pray specifically for churches today who need wisdom. I want to pray for those who have been led astray by the lies of the world. That You would do something. That You would change things. And maybe that means through one of us or all of us or just church overall. But Lord, help us to stand and talk about the truth that you've given us and to not let the lies continue. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.